Hello, I'm Calvin Warpula. What a joy it is to speak to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for inviting me into your home, into this worship service. I was thinking of the Psalms, the 150 songs that we have in the middle of our Old Testament. Jesus loved the Psalms. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are 55 references to the Psalms. Jesus quoted the Psalms. In fact, it was his favorite book. He quoted the Psalms more than any other book of the Old Testament. And he told the disciples after his resurrection, "All that is written about me in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets must be fulfilled." And it was on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 were added to the Lord's church, the Bible says that Peter preached about Jesus, and he quoted the book of Psalms. He quoted from Psalm 16. Listen to some of the words from Psalm 16. "I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The Bible speaks of God's love and care for us in this psalm. And this was especially true as the Apostle Peter preached in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us eternal hope. Because he lives, we shall live also. My friend Dan Boschel recently wrote on Facebook, "Whatever problem looms over you, God is bigger. Whatever hole you are in, God's love is deeper. Whatever failure haunts you, God's mercy is stronger. There's no guilt, shame, fear, or futility that God has not or cannot defeat. Remember, since Jesus Christ was raised, anything is possible." We have been looking at Psalm 23. I have known people who studied the Psalms for 30 years and never totally digested them. The Psalms were the songbook of the early church. According to the book of Ephesians, they were to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And there are 154 references to the Psalms in the New Testament. And Psalm 23 is the pearl of all the Psalms. It's only 6 verses, 117 words, and yet for 3,000 years, this psalm has been the songbook of the Jewish people and of the Church of Christ. The Bible tells us here, "The Lord is my shepherd." I think Jesus may have been referring back to that passage in John chapter 10, when he said 3 times in that one chapter, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And he says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Thank God for the blessed security and assurance that we have when we follow Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. I think there also may be another reference to Psalm 23 in the New Testament over in the book of 1 Peter. When Peter talked about leadership in the church, and he said things like this, that this leadership follows the good shepherd who is the chief shepherd. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Jesus is the chief shepherd. I think there's another reference to Psalm 23 also in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And here in chapter 7 and verse 17, the Bible speaks of the joys and the delights of knowing God and being with God. It says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So we have some references to Psalm 23 in the teachings of Jesus and the sermons and writings of the apostles. Last week, we began a study of Psalm 23, but it is impossible to exhaust that psalm in 25 minutes. So today, let's continue our study. And we're going to begin where we left off last week, and that is we're going to begin with the thought there where the Bible says in Psalm 23, "He leads us beside still waters." Now, still waters are very important to sheep because they will not drink from a gurgling, rushing stream. You see, they're afraid of water like that because their wool is heavy and they're not good swimmers. And if they fell in, it would be kind of like you trying to swim with an overcoat on. So the shepherd has to find a calm place for them to drink, or he has to dam up the stream to form a quiet pool for them to drink. Water is 70% of a sheep's weight, and it's absolutely necessary for their life and for their functions. But they need good, clean water, because from dirty water they might get internal parasites, such as nematodes or liver flukes and other disease germs. So the good shepherd knows what the sheep needs. Well, we are thirsty for God, and God knows what we need. Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." People try everything else in the world. They try money, they try academic achievements, they try power, they try travel, sports, hobbies, and yet their lives are still hollow and empty and unsatisfied. And they turn to alcohol and drugs and sexual adventures, and yet nothing satisfies. Our amazing capacity for God cannot be satisfied by anything but God Himself. It was Augustine who said, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in Thee." The Bible goes on to say that He restores our soul. You see, a sheep cannot get rid of all of its messes and its failures. A sheep can get down and cannot be lift itself up. That's called a cast sheep. Without help, it'll just lay there and die. A sheep can also get its wool full of dirty manure, ticks, scabs, and burrs. And oh, what a relief it is when the good shepherd comes along and removes all of that mess. He cares for the sheep. And oh, what a joy it is that God cares for us. He restores our soul. The Bible says that He is merciful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And He continually gives us that life. And as we drink of Him, as the text says, that we shall have living water that flows from us, that came from Him. The prodigal son came home, and the father ran to meet him. And the father gave him a big party and a big banquet. And God rejoices. And the Bible says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. He restores our soul. The Bible says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord." He gives hope. He gives peace. He gives love. He gives joy. The Bible says then, He leads us in paths of righteousness. You see, sheep cannot just get along anywhere. And probably there's no other livestock that requires more careful handling, more detailed direction than sheep do. So the shepherd has to lead the sheep. They cannot find the grass by themselves. They have very poor eyesight. I'm told they cannot see more than 15 yards in front of them. And oh, how the sheep enjoy going to new pastures. I remember reading Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And he tells stories in there about all of these items mentioned in the 23rd Psalm. And he says that as sheep go through the gate into fresh pasture, he has seen even old ewes kick up their heels and leap with delight at the prospect of finding fresh food. We're so much like sheep. We need new pasture. We need new food, new paths, new habits, for we do not know where to go or what to do on our own. And we often cling to the old habits that destroy our lives. You see, the Bible says twice in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he leads us. He leads us to glorify the Father. And if we don't follow Jesus, we pursue old human paths. We graze on old polluted ground, and we end up a bag of bones on ruined land. All around us, we see the results of people following their own way instead of the Lord's way. We see broken homes, broken hearts, derelict lives, and twisted personalities because people go their own way. The greed and selfishness of man leaves nothing but ruin and remorse. Then the Bible goes on to say, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. In fact, it says, you are with us. Thou art with me. That's the first time in Psalm 23 that we have this very personal pronoun, you or thou. It's been he before, but now it's you. As though David in the psalm is talking directly to God. You are with me. No longer the third person, he, but now the second person, you are with me. So, God leads us. He leads us through the shadows. Every life is going to have some dark shadows. There's a broken heart in every pew. No one is exempt from disease or death or disappointment or hardship. And the Christian life is different from the life of a person without God, not because of the absence of problems, but because we have the presence of the Lord. So the Lord is with us through every trial, every disappointment, and every dilemma. Notice he says, yea, though I walk through the valley. We don't stay in the valley, but we can walk through it because there's light on the other side. There's an exit on the other side. And even death itself is not an end. But with the shepherd, it is a dark valley opening into an eternal delight with God. The Bible says in the words of the Apostle Paul, the time of my departure has come. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord will give me, and not only me, but all those who love his appearing. And Jesus turned to that sinful criminal on the cross who repented. And he said, today, you will be with me in paradise. And when they were stoning the preacher Stephen because of his faith and his message, he looked into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And the Apostle Paul said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The Bible says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, for their works do follow them. Oh, the joy of knowing God now, and the blessed anticipation and hope of knowing Him and being with Him forever. Then the Bible continues, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now the rod was a thick club, something like a baseball bat, maybe 2 foot long, and sometimes it had a large wooden ball at the end, had been carved there. And the purpose of that was to fight off the cougars and the lions and the wolves, kill snakes, and fight off bandits. It was a symbol of strength and power and authority. Even today, we use the word rod to refer to a personal handgun that a person may be carrying. But the Lord's rod is His word. It's His power, it's His strength, it's His authority. And the Word of God protects us from evil. The Bible says, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember when Jesus was tempted? Three times He quoted the word from Deuteronomy. It is written, it is written, it is written. And when you are tempted and when I'm tempted, God's word is our power source. It is written, because we cannot think of the word of God and sin at the same time. We cannot follow God's word and do evil at the same time. So God's word is our powerful strength and support. And we turn to the word of God for protection and comfort. That's why it's so important to memorize the word. Because when Jesus was tempted there on the Mount of Temptation, He didn't have to pull out a copy of the Old Testament out of His back pocket and say, well, let me see if I can find a verse. I know it's in here somewhere. No, He had it in His heart. And it is written, it is written, it is written. So memorize the word. Think on the word. Meditate on the word. Read the word. Study the word. And teach the word. But thy rod and thy staff. Now, the staff was a long, slender pole, about 6 to 8 feet long. It had a curved end called a crook at the end. And the shepherd used the staff to gently lift newborn sheep, to guide sheep, and to touch the sheep. The staff was a tool of compassion and help. And the shepherd never beat the sheep with either the rod or the staff. Now, God's staff to us might be represented by the Holy Spirit, who gently touches us, leads our heart, and lifts us up. You see, we Christians have an invisible means of support. And when we are baptized, God gives us the Holy Spirit. And that's the very presence of God in our lives. He gives us personal, invisible support. We're never abandoned. We're never alone. The Bible says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, the sheep could be surrounded by enemies, wild animals, bandits, or even poisonous weeds. But the shepherd provides a green pasture, a banquet of good things for the sheep. To do so, the shepherd may have to dig out the poisonous plants. He may have to care for and cultivate the grass. He may have to prepare everything for the sheep to eat. And likewise, the Lord takes care of us in the presence of our enemies. Our world desperately needs God, but continues to reject Him. He provides a luscious banquet, far more than just a light snack. There's no fast food with God. Every Sunday we eat of the Lord's Supper, We take the bread and the wine in remembrance of Jesus and his sacrifice. Even though the world outside may deny him and reject him, we live with God. The Bible then says, "You anoint my head with oil." That was a special oil that was mixed with sulfur and spices. It would ward off infections, parasites, flies, and heal abrasions and wounds and scabs. And likewise, the Lord cares for us. He gives us exactly what we need. The oil of his presence, his healing, his spirit, his care for us, his protection, and his provision takes care of our specific needs. When David realizes all that God does for him, he says, "My cup runneth over." And our cup does run over with the blessings of the Lord. We cannot number all of God's blessings. Every day is a gift from God. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. And every good and perfect gift comes down from God. And then David looks to the future. And he says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." If the Lord is the shepherd up front leading, then goodness and mercy are on the backside, following us. One preacher said that goodness and mercy are like two fine collie dogs who ride herd on the sheep and protect the sheep from the backside. They follow us all the days of our life. God is taking care of us. He's taking care of the future. He's taking care of the present. He's taking care of the past. The 23rd Psalm, the second word is the Lord. And the next to the last word in this psalm is the Lord. Surely I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we've got Jesus, we're all wrapped up in him from beginning to end. He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. And if you were to take the Lord from this psalm, nothing would be left. A cowboy on a West Texas ranch in direct language would say it like this: "Nothing will ever make me leave this outfit. It's great." We have no wish to change forever. Why would anyone want to leave the Lord? I like the little girl who read the 23rd Psalm like this: "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." Well, what do you need today? The Lord has got it. For your weariness, he's got green pasture. For your anxiety, he's got still water. For your faltering, he's got restoration. For your fears, he's got comfort. For your enemies, he's got a feast. For your hurts, he's got anointing. And for your end, he's got the Father's house. Yes, we thank God. He is our all-sufficient, ever-present, fully satisfying shepherd. And what that means is that we should trust him. We should not worry. We should not live in fear. We should not live in anxiety over anything. For the Lord is with us, and he's given us his presence. We live in a pressure cooker world. And three of the most commonly used drugs in America are for ulcers, high blood pressure, and anxiety. But with Jesus, we fear not. We worry not. We believe. We trust in him. And he supplies every need we have. He restores our soul. He refreshes our life. He leads us in paths of righteousness. I'd like to close with reading the 23rd Psalm from the Passion Translation. Actually, it's somewhat of a paraphrase, but the translators say that they've gone back to the original Hebrew words and given it the meaning that it would have in the Hebrew. Hear it, please. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in His luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where He restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to His name. Lord, even when Your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for You already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of Your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for You are near. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of Your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of You until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For Your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to Your glorious presence to be forever with You. Amen and amen.